And welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland here in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me is Barbara Serbinska and Russell Frankis. Thanks for being here. And again, this is what, our third time talking about the Setup program, because this is the third year for us?
Absolutely right. The third year.
Third year of the program. So welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Happy to have you. So let's first just start with a little primer, just reminding listeners what it is, and then we'll talk about what's new and exciting.
So SETUP stands for Center for Theoretical Underground Physics and Related Areas, like microbiology, geology, engineering, etc., etc. So there's lots of underground science. And the whole concept was pretty much born three years ago, when I had a discussion with a colleague of mine from University of Wisconsin, Professor Baha Balantekin. And the idea was, well, we have all these experimental underground laboratories around the world, 20 plus of them. And so experimental physicists, they have a great place to work and conduct their research. Theoretical physicists, so the other group, who are mostly working on exactly providing some new theories, ideas, simulations, modeling. We work for all those experiments, but we don't have one particular place to get together and get some work done. So I always refer to us as homeless people. You know, we just don't have one place. We work.
They don't have a mine for you somewhere that you can just go?
No. We work for all of them. So the idea was, well, how about we put together a program which is going to give exactly such place. So one central location for all theoretical physicists from around the world where we can come and get some work done. And that's exactly when SETUP was born. So Center for Theoretical Underground Physics. And then we realized that we have a bunch of other disciplines which are related to underground science, and we expanded the name to and related fields, or related areas. So 2 years ago, we had our first program. It was a three-year program. We got about 35 people. It was kind of a pilot program. And we had about five publications. So the program is, again, I always emphasize, it's not a conference. It's not a workshop. It's more collaborative effort. So people are coming, and we have maybe two, three talks per day. The talks kind of go from half an hour to 3 hours, long talks, you know, depends on how many questions and discussions do we have going on. And after the discussion is over, people actually go to their office space. So we are using a middle school in Leeds. So thank you so much, guys, for giving us your space. And the classrooms are actually converting to the office space. We have two, three desks, chairs, whiteboards, projectors, and people go to their office space and just actually get work done.
Yeah, and what was really intriguing for me in year one, it was from the business perspective, I kind of helped with the business strategy, and it's almost like it's a giant reorganization in the world of physics, and that's what day in and day out. Year one was kind of a pilot or proof of concept phase, and the results were so great, and the feedback was so great, it kind of proved Barbara and Professor Balakentine's hypothesis that there needs to be a global center for all things underground science, and they focused on the physics portion. We were just scratched the surface yet for all the other global underground science-related things. So year one was proof of concept, and then we rolled into year two.
Yep, and year two, we still went with the three-week program, but we got 65 people, so keep the same time, almost double the number of people. And the scientific results were a huge surprise to me because, again, we do measure our success in number of published papers.
Right. And quality.
And the quality, obviously.
And from that perspective, in their field, quality is, does it have a meaningful change or direction set in the scientific path that they were on before? And all of those papers, which were, what, 20 plus?
Yes, so we had 20 papers. So we quadrupled number of papers, which was great. And on top of that, we decided to publish to make sure that whatever we are doing is sort of available to other people who were not able to come. We published the proceedings. So American Institute of Physics put together the proceedings. So we have, on top of those 20 papers, we have additional papers, 40 of them published in the proceedings. So that was just published, and it is available to online to everyone who goes to AIP. there are some hard copies as well.
Yeah, and year two is very much kind of, we looked at year one success, said let's have growth in a metered way to test out, you know, further innovation, and everything came out really good out of year two. So then year three comes along and we say, okay, let's scale up a little more, increase the depth and breadth of the audience from a global perspective as well as the integration. And
yep. So the year three.
Here we are in year three.
Okay. We are
coming.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. So right.
June 24th through July 26th.
That's correct.
Right? So it's a month.
Yeah, it's a 5 week long program.
Okay.
And we have, we split the program into two different main subjects. So we spend 2 weeks discussing, focusing on dark matter, and we have both theoretical and experimental discussions on that, and we have about 30 people coming for the dark matter session. Then the last 2 weeks are focused on neutrino and unification, and we have more than 30 people coming for this two-week program, and we sandwiched in the middle an international conference which is called 7th International Workshop on Interactions Between Particle Physics and Cosmology.
She does not have a piece of paper in front of her. That's what I'm saying.
Say that three times fast.
It's called PPC. Yeah, so we sandwiched the PPC conference for 1 week in the middle, so we kind of build a critical mass, get a little bit more of this kind of, you know, a flavor of actual conference, you know, lots of talks during the 5 day period.
And the actual PPC is very important in terms of adding or showing how much credibility setups gain, because they want to integrate with setup and be a part of setup. The last 3 years it was held where?
It was Torino in Italy, CERN. Laboratory in Switzerland and Seoul, South Korea last year.
And now it's going to be in Deadwood, South Dakota. So that's the science of setup attracts those folks. And that's really exciting. And setup combined with PPC, without a doubt, is the biggest global conference ever held in South Dakota. So we're really proud of that.
Yeah, we have.
And you're expecting how many people?
Well, we are expecting about 100 people for the PPC. And again, that's 30 and 30 people for the neutrino and dark matter sessions kind of separated. So we are still in the process of inviting people. So people who are coming to set up are still sort of by invitation only. We are expanding it, and if somebody is coming who wants to contribute, you know, obviously we are considering their application, but there is an application process and mostly invitations at this time.
And theoretical physics is not actually conducting the experiments. It's taking that data and thinking it through, right?
Yeah. Yes, and it's a lot of thinking. And, you know, for example, if we have experiment and we get some kind of data from the experiment, now we need to figure out how the obtained collected data are going to matching, fitting into the existing models. Sometimes they match perfectly and we just say, well, we confirm what we thought we have. And in some of the cases, the data are not even close to what people were thinking. So now we have two different things going on. We have a next experiment, so other $50, $100 million to build experiment and confirm if the experimental data are correct or not. And if they are not correct, then the theoretical physicists are coming to the picture and trying to figure out, okay, so how do we need to modify the model? How does data are changing our perspective of what we think we knew about the world?
And these are not people who typically collaborate? Or is this bringing them together and just a way to just be in the same room?
I'll look at it from the business perspective. Over the last 20 years, these 20 or so underground mines came up, and they have the experiments in them. Well, all the subject matter experts from the theory perspective are all around the world. And they would collaborate via email, occasionally bump into each other at meetings. But with the rapid growth of underground science, this kind of encouraged collaboration was the business need. And once that happened, I think we've taken underground science globally to the next level. So now the long-term vision and goal of setup, which has been confirmed, is there needs to be a permanent collaboration point for all things underground science for the entire world.
And does that need to be a physical location?
That's our goal, to get to the point where we can start discussing the physical place, the office space, the meeting space. And as Russell mentioned, there is a need Yes, we do, you know, in the technology world, we do send emails and texts and stuff like that. But you actually, when you are actually in the same room with people who think differently mm-hmm. on the same subject.
Oh, they don't all agree?
Oh,
you argue?
You should see and hear some of the discussions. So, yeah, so that's mm-hmm. exactly when people are finally finding a different way of looking at the subject, you know, they spend last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years of their life working on. So I think that's what's is extremely important. And again, the conference, the typical conference workshop is not giving such opportunity. If you have 60 talks over 5 days, there is no much time to have a meaningful discussions. And set up with the nature, the way how we design the program, definitely give such opportunity for this idea exchange, the brainstorming, this collaborative mm-hmm. Meetings, and again, a little bit of fight, a little bit of discussion. Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting and very, very productive at the end.
And in that new world, and there's already a need now, it's just a physical facility. We haven't, you know, gone down the road for development of that as of yet. But right now, they could put, let's say, I call them a group or a pod of X number of theoretical physicists working for a year or so on a particular tree or vein of thought that drives the theory. So it's more that long-term need, and that's already been, that need's already been confirmed by all the members of SETUP from around the globe, and it resonates with them. So that's what's really exciting.
How does the average South Dakotan listening to this program, how do they, you know, obviously a lot of it is, and I'm waving my hand over my head, for the average person may not read these papers, right? Mm-hmm. So then how do you bring it down to their level to explain the importance of what's happening and the results of what's coming out of there?
Well, I'll take a stab at that because
I'm not just
one,
a little.
I'm not one of the scientists, but mm-hmm. what I do is draw historical analogies when I look at this, and mm-hmm. I think that the public in general across the United States or the world understands the basics of rudimentary nuclear ideas, theories, and concepts that were done in the 1940s. The public was not educated about those in mm-hmm. the 1940s. Those are kind of second nature now. We're just in third, fourth, fifth generation of physics, and a lot of these concepts are coming to fruition, and the theories are going to roll into real products, ventures, and things for humanity. Some of those can be perceived, potential power sources, X number of years down the road, understanding of the universe, et cetera, mm-hmm. for more that the non-scientists could understand. That's why I wanted to jump in and lay a foundation, mm-hmm. but I'll let Barbara kind of elucidate on all of mm-hmm. that a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think in many cases, you know, obviously my first kind of answer is like, are you serious? The average person doesn't know. Come on. No, but we do try, you know, for example, when we are during the setup time, we do bring students. We outreach to younger mm-hmm. People to kind of just get together. Tell me what you think about science. Tell me what's your ideas. We tell you how we see the world, you know, how we see the Big Bang. And I always love the
Big Bang theory. Yes, okay.
Because there is so much. I mean, those guys, when you look at, you know, the background information, there is a real serious science going on the boards and the tables and posters. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, just telling people the story in way, kind of simpler way, mm-hmm. Easier way is something which the guys coming to set up are extremely aware of, that that's something which has to be done. And I'm hoping that when we get to the point of having a permanent facility, when we don't have to kind of overuse the kindness of middle school and use their building, but that we have place where we can collaborate year-round, those open to the public outreach lectures and meetings and kind of very informal settings are going to be extremely beneficial to people to really actually ask simple questions and what do you do? Mm-hmm. I mean,
and I was very pleased and very amazed through my integration with all these global physicists throughout the years that one of their highest desires is to communicate in an understandable way to the general public. Mm-hmm. I think they've gotten better at that. And they want to lay a roadmap in regards to what we're going to study or what can be discovered or at least where we're at. And they all do an exceedingly good job, and they can bring it down to the elementary school level or to the man on or woman on the street. So that's really exciting. And I think some of the interesting things about setup, what really gets me going, again, kind of from that business strategy, what could come of this perspective, we have things like the World Wide Web that came about that was developed out of CERN. But that was not one of the end goals. That's one of those things kind of like VCRs out of the space mission. It's those non-direct
Velcro,
assets.
Right?
Exactly. And Velcro. So that's what gets me excited about the permanent center.
And the permanent, is it the goal to have the permanent center in South Dakota?
Well, I think we are kind of, we need to get to the point of talking about the funds and who will be able
sure.
to contribute.
The best deal.
The best deal. But I mean, at this time, you know, we are going to be this summer, we are definitely going to be in Black Hills. So if there is anybody who is doing any kind of vacationing in Black Hills area, we are going to be in Lead. And
anybody can come and visit?
And anybody can come and visit us. So the middle school in Lead is our headquarter location.
Okay, so and Neutrino Day just happens to be the throughout a part of that.
Exactly.
So you do get a lot of tourists and stuff, and you participate in some of
yes,
that
so,
as well.
The PPC conference ends strategically on Saturday noon. So right after we are done with the last summary talk, we can move our scientists to I think it's mostly the Opera House in Lead. Where most of the activities are going to be happening. And obviously, the Surf Lab and the setup and PPC participants are going to be kind of available to talk to people and just say what we are doing and, you know, how it is to be on the other side of the science. So not working on the computer, not working on the experiment, but more working on the computer and doing some simulations and kind of more thinking process. So
the thinking of physics.
All physics, of everything what's out there, you know, everything which is not exactly discovered. And we, you know, if you look at the model, there are so many things which so many puzzles, it's almost like playing with puzzles. There are some puzzles which you actually see because that's what the experiment gave you. That's the results. We know we have that. But there are so many things. If you have small kids in the house, you know, some of those small puzzles kind of tend to disappear. That's pretty much, you know, how do we fill this gap? You know, is it just one big thing or something else?
And the way I think about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, from their perspective is the more that gets confirmed over time, the more questions open up. So it's
exactly.
almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. And we're out of time.
Thanks for having
but,
us.
But it's our goal to spend some time and talk with some of these scientists as well when we're out there for Neutrino Day as well. So we will have that on future innovation programs. So
fantastic.
Thank you both for being here.
Thank
I appreciate it. I want to thank all of my guests for participating in the program today, and also special thanks to Nate Weck, Nathan Poole, and Chris Loffrey for your help with the program today. You've been listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.